upon you and give you his peace. Amen. Children, you are dismissed. Friends, I want you to open your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. If you've been following along in the readings that we've been doing this year, we've been reading Mark these last 2 weeks. And being gone last week means that I get 1 week to present the Gospel of Mark to you. And we've got 14 minutes, according to our schedule, to accomplish that. So that's not going to happen. But I want you to know that the Gospel of Mark comes to us in such a way that we need to be ready to receive it. And so I'm asking, as we go into, as we pray, that you would just, in your hearts before the Lord, to say, Lord, I am ready. And if I'm not, would you make me ready to hear what Mark has to say to me today? Can I pray for us? Jesus, we need to hear this word. And it comes to us not just as words on a page, but words that are presented historically through your Spirit, and that you, Holy Spirit, enliven that word in such a way that we are never the same. And so, Holy Spirit, we're asking that we would receive this word, and by it we would be transformed. We would be transformed by it, and that you, Holy Spirit, would make Jesus real in our life to an increasing degree. Thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, I'm going to withhold reading Mark 4 because we've got some preliminary things that I want to share with you, but that's our primary text. And so you have a little bit of time to get there. The Gospel of Mark begins with this statement: the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This is the way that the whole gospel is introduced. This is the beginning of it. And the whole book, read, I think, well, lives in the beginning character of it. It's not as though this first verse is the beginning and then there's everything that comes after. This is the beginning of the gospel that gets played out over and over again throughout the gospel itself. And so it is the beginning of the gospel. And in Mark, what we find is that when Jesus enters the scene, everything changes. Well, in order to share that and show that to you, you have your outline there. I want to begin by telling you that Mark is a gospel experiment. You guys know how experiments work. You have the materials of your experiment, and the materials of an experiment is what you're going to use in order to accomplish the experiment. In the Gospel of Mark, the material, the raw material for the gospel is lives and situations that are unwell. They are unhealthy. And so they provide the material. So as you read the Gospel of Mark, you uncover all of these situations that Jesus enters into that are unwell. Well, if you're going to have an experiment, you need to have a change agent. And when I was in science, we called that change agent the catalyst, right? Isn't that helpful? That was right there in your notes. You've got to cheat. That's great. So if you're going to produce an experiment, you need materials, but you also need something, a catalyst, a change agent that is going to be implemented in that experience so that you can observe the impact of that catalyst, of that change agent. Jesus is the catalyst or to say it like Mark does, Jesus is the beginning of the gospel, right? And so when Jesus enters the scene, we're going to see the impact that he makes. And so we shouldn't be surprised that as a gospel experiment, that we are presented with these people, these situations, these lives that Jesus enters into as the catalyst. And as the catalyst, what we see is that Jesus makes lives that are unwell, situations that are unwell, he makes them well. So if we're thinking in Mark, Jesus, one of the first times we see him is that he's in a house and everybody in the town is bringing their sick people to him. And Jesus is healing and healing and healing. He's bringing wellness to a place that is unwell. He gets up early in the morning. That's fascinating to me. I read that and I don't know whether or not, like, everybody got healed in the community. And so he's like, well, this is great. I'm going to go get some sleep for a couple hours. Then I'm going to get up and go. Or if he gets up while they're still alive. It just says that he gets up and he goes out to a solitary place to meet with his father. But he's bringing wellness to people that are unwell. Comes to his Peter's mother-in-law and she has a fever. It makes her well. They cross a lake in which a guy that no one in the community could bind. I mean, the community has tried to bring wellness to this guy that is unwell, and they couldn't do it. And so he was left outside of the community to continue to live a destructive lifestyle. Jesus brings wellness to this man. It's so much, as a matter of fact, that the people come outside of the city and they find that the man who is both dressed and in his right mind. The implication is that he was previously not dressed or in his right mind, which if you hear of his living conditions, that would have been true. And so wellness, Jesus enters in, and when Jesus enters in, it changes. You know what's interesting about a catalyst? Is that in a science experiment, the catalyst oftentimes has an immediate reaction. You know one of the striking features about the Gospel of Mark is the use of the word immediately and at once. It's fascinating. I encourage you, if you haven't read, if you haven't been reading in the Gospel of Mark, I'd encourage you sometime this week to sit down and read it in one setting. You will be amazed at how many times the text says, at once, immediately. Jesus enters the scene, immediately things begin to change. It raises the question for us, friends. When we invite Jesus into our life, do we expect an immediate change? Do we anticipate that when Jesus enters the scene, that things are going to begin to change because Jesus has entered the scene? That's the way Mark presents his gospel. Immediately, the things begin to change. That's awesome. It's something that in our lives we should anticipate and expect. Maybe it's in those areas of our life where we're not experiencing Jesus that we should take pause and to say, have I not invited Jesus into this area of my life? Because if Mark has anything to say about it, when Jesus enters the scene, everything begins to change. And then there's always a reaction. Right, and this is what we're observing, right? We take the materials, we apply the catalyst, and then we observe the reaction. And we would think, right, if Jesus enters into these scenes, into these lives where there is unwellness, and he brings wellness to that which is unwell, that we would go, this is amazing. Another striking feature about the Gospel of Mark is that the reaction to the change that Jesus brings is both fear and amazement. Time out. The raw material of Mark is situations that are unwell, lives that are unwell. None of us long for that. Jesus enters the scene and everything begins to change. Things that were unwell are being made well. And the response, the reaction, is that people are afraid and they're amazed. Those two things go together oftentimes. Interesting. The word awe, which is to take your breath away, also is a prefix, if we want to use that term, to both awesome as well as awful, right? Both of those come from the same root of awe, takes my breath away. And so Mark reveals to us that when the raw materials is unwellness, and Jesus enters the scene and things begin to change. But as they change, if we're thinking about this man who lived in the tombs, both naked and not in his right mind, Jesus, they cross the lake, by the way, and it seems as though Jesus goes out of his way to meet this man who lives in the tombs, who is both naked and not in his right mind. They encounter a storm that comes upon them. These guys who knew how to sail are afraid. They wake Jesus up. Are you willing to let us die? Jesus speaks to the wind and the waves. They calm, and the disciples are afraid. When Jesus enters into the scene, things begin to change. And the response is, the disciples say, who is this man? He goes there. It seems as though he goes out of his way to meet this man because he doesn't stay there. The man that the people come out to see is both clothed in his right mind because he's met with Jesus, the catalyst who has brought his unwell situation into wellness. It says that the people came out and they were afraid and they said, Jesus, please leave our region. They're afraid because they're saying, if this is what it means for Jesus to enter the situation, everything begins to change. I'm not sure I'm ready for that kind of change. Time out. Friends, sometimes we don't allow Jesus to enter into our situations because we know what it means. Things will begin to change. Because when Jesus enters in, he takes unwellness and makes it well. You know, the striking thing for that is sometimes I wonder how much we're contented in our unwellness. I'm more comfortable in my unwellness than I am with the wellness that Jesus brings. The people who tried to contain this man and they couldn't, now this man can re-enter community because he's been transformed by a Jesus who entered the scene and brought his unwellness to being made well. And the people are like, I'm not sure you need to come into town. If that's what you're going to do outside of town, what are you going to do when you come into town? The man says, Jesus, I want to follow you. Because now this people that tried to contain me so that they could keep me in community and then put me out because they couldn't contain me, are now not going to allow me to come back into community because of the work that you've done in my life. Jesus says, go home and tell your family. Go home and tell your network all the things that the Lord has done for you. How unwellness has been made well because you met Jesus. Friends, do you hear how this gospel begins? The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We have a gospel. We have good news. But we need to present that good news with the recognition that when Jesus enters the scene, everything begins to change. Because he enters the scene to make that which is unwell, well. Which means if there's unwellness in our life, we might push Jesus off to the side to say, you're not allowed there. I'm more content in that unwellness than Jesus for you to come in and make it well. And so if we're just reading Mark as a gospel experiment, we see that happen. Those are features that are true. They are undeniable. Sit down and read the gospel. It's 16 chapters. It'll take you about an hour to read it out loud, which is slower, by the way. So that's it, an hour to read it all the way through, 16 chapters. You'll be amazed to see that Jesus enters the scene in unwell situations, and that when he does, he brings wellness to unwellness, and that the reaction of the people is fear and amazement. Go read it for yourself. But not only is it a gospel experiment, Mark reads as a gospel experience. It's not intended for us to read it and say, oh, that's really interesting. That's really neat. How cool. We can read it like a science experiment. It has these features: material, catalyst, reaction. Oh, wow, Pastor Ryan, that's really great. Thank you for giving me a way to read Mark. No. If we do that, we've missed it. That Mark is a gospel experience, and it's presented, I think, in one of the interpretive keys of the book. That the interpretive key to the book is here in Mark chapter 4, where we discover the parable of, well, it depends on which way you read it, right? It can be the parable of the sower. It can be a parable of the soil. It can be a parable of the seed. And depending on what scholar you read, they might title it differently. But the impetus of that is all three features are necessary to unpacking the experience of this gospel that is Mark. So let me read these verses to you, and then we're going to, at a pace that is just right, share with them. Again, Jesus began to teach beside the sea. A large crowd gathered about him, so they got into a boat, sat in it on the sea, and the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables, and in his teaching he said to them, listen. If you're willing to write in your Bibles, that's worth circling. One of my favorite professors in college, he did his dissertation in the Gospel of Mark, and his dissertation focused on the orality of the Gospel of Mark, that this was a gospel that was an oral gospel. And so it was presented orally. Now, why is that important? Well, I'm not going to encourage you to go and read his dissertation unless you want to, and you can come talk to me after the service and say, hey, I'm really interested in that dissertation. And we'll make that available to you. But for him is this word, listen, is the interpretive key to the whole book. Because listening to the gospel is what prepares the soil of our life. It's listening to the gospel. And so he begins this parable by saying, listen. By the way, he's going to end this parable by saying, he who has ears, let him hear. From beginning to end, listen is the command. Which means that everything in the middle is what we're listening for or listening to. Behold, a sower went out to sow. He sowed. And as he sowed, some of the seed fell along the path, and birds came, they devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up, and they choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seed fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30, 60, 100 times that which was sown. And he said, "He who has ears, let him hear." Let me give you three G words. I'm getting good at this. The first thing we encounter in this parable is a generous sower. It seems as though the sower is unconcerned about where the seed falls. If you just read it, the sower goes out and broadcasts seed. He's a generous sower. This is wonderful news for us. It's wonderful news for us because we don't have to get so bent out of shape on whether or not we always make the right decision as it relates to the seed that's been sown, or for other people to respond to the seed that we sow. The call here is to experience the generosity of the sower. He continues to sow, but he doesn't just continue to sow any kind of seed. He sows good seed. It's always good seed. So this generous sower sows good seed. And as this generous sower sows good seed, that it gospels the soil. This is the gospel of Mark. It's a gospeling narrative. It's good news. Here's what's really neat. So this generous sower who sows continuously good seed is working to transform whatever soil you're in, or that you say that differently, or that you are. So there are certain areas of our life that we might have, as it relates to the gospel, a trodden, path-ridden soil. It is unreceptive to the gospel. But it doesn't mean that the gospel is not shared, nor that the sower does not intend to transform that soil to the good soil, right? Or to the receptive soil. Well, how does that happen? Do you remember how the parable begins and ends? Listen, he who has ears, let him hear what the gospel says. This is why the seed continues to be sown by this generous sower, as he continues to broadcast the good news of the wellness that can come to that which is unwell. And he's working that soil. He's gospeling that soil so that it becomes receptive to the seed that's being broadcast by the generous sower. So don't be surprised if over time God takes that path that's unreceptive to the gospel and begins to work it, begins to turn it over. You remember the prophets? It was Jonathan Edwards. He wrote a sermon titled "Break Up the Fallow Ground," and he's pulling a verse from the prophets to say God is at work upturning the ground. He's working the ground. This is what the sower will do. And so he's going to work the ground of the hard path. This is the same is true for the gardener or the sower who's going to go and work in the rocks in order to remove, to extract the rocks, to make the soil good soil. So that is, or to say that differently, receptive to the seed that is sown. To that where weeds have grown up is that this sower who generously sows his seed spends time weeding the garden of our life. Why? Because he's interested in changing that which is unwell to becoming well. Whoa. Mark is a gospel experiment. It's true. Read it. Mark is a gospel experience. That this is intended for our lives. And so whatever soil, whatever situations that are happening in your life that are unwell, friends, I would invite you to listen to the gospel that Jesus brings. Because when we listen, he begins to change things immediately. Why? Because he's the catalyst. He's the beginning of the gospel that changes everything. Let me finish here, friends. Mark is a gospel expectation. It's not just an experiment. It's not just an experience, but it is an expectation. And the expectation is that the generous sower who sows good seed and works the soil to be receptive to the gospel will produce a harvest. And that harvest is a bountiful one. It is a harvest that will produce beyond that which is sown. This is amazing because it's a generous sower who sows almost seemingly indiscriminately, just broadcasting good seed. And he works the soil so that it becomes receptive. And when it does, it produces a harvest that blows the mind of the hearers. It will be 30, 60, 100 times that which was sown. Friends, my encouragement to you today, in preaching classes, they say, okay, where does the sermon move to? What do we want as a result of hearing this message? What we want is wellness. We want the same Jesus who made situation after situation after situation and life after life after life, from unwellness to wellness, is we want that same Jesus to bring the catalyst of wellness into our life. This asks two questions of us. What's unwell in my life? What's unwell in my life? And then question two, am I willing to face my fear and invite Jesus into my unwell? Because when you do, things begin to change. That's the expectation of Mark. And when he does, he will produce a harvest that is beyond what we can right now even consider in our unwellness. What unwellness do we have in our life? And are we willing to face our fear to invite Jesus, who transforms unwellness to wellness, to produce a harvest in us? I want to pray for us, friends. I want to encourage you to not simply listen to a prayer, but to listen to the Spirit who might have something on his mind that he'd like to put in yours to say, Ryan, I'd like to deal with this in you. Or insert your name. I'd like to deal with this unwellness in you. Friends, let's pray together. Jesus, I'm so thankful that you are a God who comes into my unwellness to make it well. That's a promise. You can do that. And so I pray for us. I pray for us as a corporate body. If there's unwellness in this church, that we would invite you into it and that you would bring wellness to it. Yeah, it may mean some changes, but that it will produce a harvest that glorifies the Father. And Lord, in our personal lives, if there is unwellness that we have become contented in, that you would convict us, Holy Spirit, and challenge us with the reality that there's a Jesus who makes that which is unwell well again. Jesus, may we take this text seriously, that you would like to begin the gospel in those areas of our life, in those areas of our church. May it be so. In Jesus' name, amen.